Okay, let's get back to business here. There was a motion picture about World War II some years ago called A Bridge Too Far. And I'm wondering if that might overlay Trump. A Betrayal Too Far. He has betrayed all of us who supported him too many times to count. And this is probably the ultimate to date. This is the worst one. I'm going to play that sound bite again in a minute or two, and you'll be able to hear it. With us this hour is William Gheen, that's G-H-E-E-N, of ALIPAC, Americans for Legal Immigration. It's a political action committee. And he has been considered for a long time as one of the foremost experts in the field of illegal immigration, legal immigration, illegal immigrants, border security, state and federal immigration laws, and all the other issues that are associated and are pertinent there too. Hello, Bill. Welcome back to the program. It's been a while. It's been a long fight, and this one is really a bitter pill to see.
Jeff, it is, and before we begin, I just want to say that it has been several years since I've been on your radio show, but so many great links and visitors from Rents.com, you know, with the censorship and suppression patriots like us face from Google and Facebook and Twitter, I don't think ALIPAC would still be running if it wasn't for Rents.com readers and some of your folks that you've organized. So well, I just want to say that up front, how deeply appreciative I am of your efforts. And I always like to mention, although I still need to go find this article, I sent you an article about an unusual sighting in the skies over North Carolina back around, when did you start Rents.com? What year was it?
94, I think.
Okay, you published an article from me back in the late 90s, on a long before I ever knew I would be fighting illegal immigration. And somewhere deep in the archives of Rents.com, there's an old article. I'm gonna dredge it up for you one
day. That's fun. I'll repost it for sure. All right, Bill, we have faced this issue head on. You have worked 24 hours a day for a long time on this. There have been others, but you're the last organization now that is standing firm and resolute in its opposition to amnesty for this DACA nightmare. How can it be that we have only one left? You're a big force, but this is, where the hell has all the opposition gone? Where have all the people who legitimately complain about Trump, where have they gone? This man needs to be held more than accountable. This is an outrage beyond measure, in my words.
I think you're absolutely right. And the thing about it is, I've been telling people all day that January 9th, 2018, at least with me and some other folks, is a day that will live in infamy. This morning, we knew that the Trump administration was going to have a pro-amnesty powwow in the White House. And so we were going to ask our activists, which are on our email alerts at alipac.us, to start calling the White House, hitting Trump's Twitter account and Facebook pages, and calling the select members of Congress that would be at the meeting, especially the Republicans, because Trump surrounded himself with the pro-amnesty Republicans and the deep socialist totalitarian Democrats that all want amnesty at this meeting. But instead of calling them, we were confronted by a USA Today article that had three people from the three old school predecessor organizations to mine saying that they were open to a deal on DACA. So we had to put out an alert about that betrayal. And since that's happened, there's been some new developments. The three groups were the Center for Immigration Studies, which we knew that they've been flirting with Trump about cutting a deal on DACA amnesty, because lawmakers and staffers had been telling me this out of D.C. for some time now. Numbers USA, Roy Beck, great group, one of my favorite groups that I've supported for years, had some comment that they were open to the deal, or we're open.
Unbelievable. Frosty Wooldridge is up next hour, and I can't wait to hear Frosty on this. This is a shocker.
Well, I hope he's listening. If he's not, tell him that, you know, I called Numbers USA today and had to leave a voice message, but I told him, I said, this is William Gein of Alipac, and I've supported you guys for 13 years, but today is the day my support ends, because I oppose amnesty, as do most reasonable Americans. And the other group was the oldest and most powerful and wealthy D.C.-based immigration group called FAIR, the Federation of Americans for Immigration Reform. And Ira Millman pretty much is there being quoted in USA Today as saying, telling lawmakers that if there's a deal on DACA and it includes canceling chain migration and the visa lottery and some border security, that there'll be no major pushback from their group against lawmakers. He just signaled Congress that they won't push back. Now, since we hit them on this, some of the groups are denying this now. These three groups are now telling people that USA Today misquoted them, which, you know, wouldn't surprise me. But they're in damage control on that because they've raised millions of dollars from people.
Yes, they have.
To fight against amnesty, and here they are betraying them. So there was the betrayal by these groups in the USA Today, and then Trump holds this meeting. And I'm about three-fourths of the way through the entire thing, watching it, you know, but I've read the excerpts and the clips and everything, and this is my professional take on what I'm seeing, okay? Trump is not the man he campaigned to be. It is clear to anybody that will take the time to look at what he did today and what he said today, compared to what he said on the campaign, to understand that Trump lied to us, that he misled us, and that is very disappointing, and that is something that a lot of people don't want to hear, and that is what a lot of people will not want to face, but it has happened. And he appears to be open to sign. He told them that he would sign an amnesty, that he's all down for comprehensive immigration reform.
Unreal. I know.
And even some of the senators in the room are like, this is something we've been trying to do for 11 years now, and Trump's going to help us get it done. Trump's going to get done what couldn't get done before. Whoa, we have fought hard to stop Congress from passing amnesty, and we defeated it in 2006, 2007, 2010. We stopped the Gang of Eight bill 2013 to 2015. And now Donald Trump and these pro-amnesty Republicans and Democrats in a room with him are talking like that was all a bad thing that Trump's going to fix now that he's been elected. And that is not what Americans believe that they were voting for when they pushed the vote.
We have only two potentials to consider here. One, he was lying to us the entire 18 months or thereabout of the campaign, conning us, duping us, hoodwinking us, setting us up. Or once he got elected, somebody or some buddies sat him down and told him how the game was played. And he's knuckled under. I don't know which it is. We'll never know. But in any case, the man is not standing on his principles that he promised and pledged to all of us he would never abandon.
Well, he said something very interesting. He said, Lindsey Graham brought up the fact that some people on Fox News and talk radio land, which I guess we're in now, we're going to start saying amnesty, 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 and beating the drums, and all sorts of nastiness would occur. And Trump said, I'll take the heat. He said, I like the heat. I'll take the heat. Well, you know, what he's going to be taking... Mr. Big, the heat he's going to be taking is from people who are disappointed, who he betrayed, who voted for him. I mean, I worked for Trump. I donated to Trump. I endorsed him. And when I endorsed him, Jeff, I don't know if I've told you this, I blew away about 25% of the financial supporters of my organization that took me 10 years of my life to organize.
Wow.
I lost them when I endorsed Trump because a lot of them were with Cruz. And a lot of them didn't trust Trump and believed that he was a shyster, and they were just, you know, very anti-Trump, although they were strong anti-illegal immigration, anti-amnesty people. And my organization has been limping financially since I endorsed Trump, and then I lost more people when I had to drop the endorsement back in May when it became clear that he had lied to us because he told us he was going to – he promised – Trump campaigned that he was going to he was going to end DACA amnesty on day one. Well, he lied about that. DACA amnesty continues today, and he's got it continuing through March. And now he's trying to make DACA permanent through legislation. So his promise to end DACA on day one, with no mention of making it permanent through legislation. And I guarantee this, I feel completely confident in this, that if Donald Trump had said anything during the GOP primary or the general election similar to what he said today in the White House,
he wouldn't be sitting there.
He would not be the president of the United States.
No, he wouldn't be there. Now, I'm going to play this little clip again. And remember the body language. Those of you who have seen this understand. He took both arms and reached across and grabbed the outside of the opposite arm and clutched them to his chest like he was trying to control his body. This is body language. That man was clearly conflicted when he was saying this. How he was conflicted, I don't know. But this is not normal body language. Now listen up. Here we go.
I do have people that are, let's just to use a very common term, very far right and very far left. They're very unhappy about what we're doing, but I really don't believe they have to be, because I really think this sells itself. And, you know, when you talk about comprehensive immigration reform, which is where I would like to get to eventually, if we do the right bill here, we are not very far away. You know, we've done most of it. If you want to know the truth, Dick, if we do this properly, DACA, you're not so far away from comprehensive immigration reform. And if you want to take it that further step, I'll take the heat. I don't care. I don't care. I'll take all the heat you want to give me. And I'll take the heat off both the Democrats and the Republicans.
What the hell is it? Who is this guy?
He's not who he campaigned to be. Donald Trump is not the man who he campaigned to be. And here's the thing. I know a lot of people that are out there listening, or they may hear this later, are going to be very disappointed, and they're going to react different ways. Some people are not going to want to believe and accept it. Some people are going to drop out, tune out, out of frustration. I've been reading these emails all day. It is up to American citizens. This is bigger than Trump, okay? We, the people, are bigger than Trump, and we're bigger than all of these turncoat pro-amnesty sellouts that were in the room with him today, and these other powers that be. It is our responsibility as American citizens to set things like this right. And when a politician like Trump pretends to be a populist, nationalist, man of the people type thing, and he turns out to be rotten, and he turns out to be deceptive, and he turns out to be 180 degrees different than what he promised everybody, we the people have to set it right. Every single person that is listening to this right now, whether they want to admit or not, has an obligation to do what they can, of course, within the law and the political context, to stop this DACA amnesty. And we can. In the past, when we fought amnesty before, the Lord blessed our organization with playing a very critical role, and sometimes decisive role. Jeff, I think you've seen a couple of these.
Yes, I have.
Perhaps when we hit Lindsey Graham and he backed up in 2010. I don't know if you remember the gimmicky but funny amnesty against underwear thing that drove John Bonner off of the amnesty thing.
That was funny.
I had no idea that was going to work, you know, but put together a press release saying send your gently used but clean underwear to Obama and Boehner, and it went viral on the web, and 48, 72 hours later, John Boehner retreated from the amnesty table with Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. So we've played a decisive role many times before, and so from the prior battles against amnesty, I know this, no matter how bad the battle looks, no matter how many enemies are swarming over the walls like Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, when all the Mordor forces are sweeping into Minas Tirith and everybody's, you know, running for their lives and getting slaughtered and then nothing can save the day when Rohan shows up. At the very last moments, the Lord has allow the United States to have a reprieve, and for this type of terrible plot in D.C. to fail and falter. But a lot of times, Jeff, it has all happened in the last 48, 72 hours, maybe 24. It's happened in the last few moments. So what I know that we need people to do is to prepare to call Congress, join groups like Alley Pack, And if you can find another group that's, you know, we are trying to get some other groups. I've talked with Overpasses for America and American Children First and some other organizations that are mm-hmm. with us in the fight against DACA. Ann Coulter is against this DACA thing. She's fighting hard. Dennis Michael Lynch. There's a lot of people out there that are fighting hard. And we need to unify our time and funds to fight this thing as best we can, even if we don't see a full path to victory. And we pray and hope that in the final moments the clouds will open up once again and allow us to win. But, you know, I don't know if what God's plan is. I mean, maybe this time he doesn't give us another chance. Maybe this time is the time we go over. But and this is what we believe will happen. If DACA amnesty passes,
right,
this will lead to a domino effect into comprehensive amnesty. I didn't expect Donald Trump to pop up and say, hey, we can vote on the comprehensive bill later that day.
Unreal.
Like he did today.
Yeah.
But if these illegals are allowed to stay, even if they say they can't vote for a decade, within 10 years, all of America will be firmly and permanently under the control of the Democratic Socialists.
You got it.
Texas.
Won't even take 10 years, Bill, I don't think, but you're right.
Well,
you're totally right.
10 years max, and they've strategically placed a lot of these DACA Dreamer illegal aliens in swing states like North Carolina, Florida, Michigan.
Oh, I didn't know this. Yeah.
Yeah, along with their Muslim refugees, they've pumped them into the swing state areas.
Uh-huh.
And basically, the truth of the matter is, the great irony is that Donald Trump is now supporting legislation that would prevent him or anyone like him from ever being elected president again beyond 2020.
It's political suicide, what he's doing. It's bizarre. It's completely bizarre. You're right. No,
how
can
we explain that?
I don't know how to explain it. What words do we use? Traitor? Treason? Certainly betrayal for openers. Where do we go with this? Go ahead.
The only thing I think is the only logical explanation is that Donald Trump is an actor. He's from a TV show, a reality show.
Yeah.
He is a media personality and actor, and he has been playing a role. And he has played the role of an American populist and reached for the illegal immigration.
He told us exactly what we wanted to hear. It was almost like a setup, a perfect setup.
It's what Americans have been craving to hear.
That's right.
But also what he promised us, Jeff, was what Americans have known that we need to do to save our country. So he came out and look. Let's back up here a second. Now, first of all, Donald Trump had no history whatsoever on fighting illegal immigration or amnesty until he ran for president, until he got jumped by other politicians, mm-hmm. and he needed something powerful to bat him back with. And the first time he used it, and it overcame people like Jeb Bush, he continued to use it, and he was very influenced, you know, by Ann Coulter's book, Adios America.
Correct.
He took that book,
yep.
and he ran with it, and so, you know, he did this thing. So Donald Trump has used the issue, and he has played a role on television, and now I believe that his true motivations and true influences are basically antithetical to what he campaigned on. Now, Ann Coulter said something very interesting today. I haven't read it, but there's a big stink about this book, Fire and Fury, or whatever it is, and you know, Steve Bannon supposedly said some things about Trump that he's upset about. Well, Ann Coulter says that the main thesis of this book is that when Bannon was thrown from the White House, it was under the control of liberal leftists, Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner.
That's right.
And that's who's running the show.
That's right. It's Bolshevik Zionism is clearly in control of much, if not most, of this country's government now. And you look at Kushner and the princess, and it's right there in front of you. A month, 6 weeks ago, Trump ordered them to leave the White House and move back to New York. They didn't go anywhere. They're not going anywhere. Kushner is clearly an operative of the Israeli state. He's a dual citizen. We know what's going on. They've never had a more perfect placement in the White House than Jared Kushner.
Well, if anyone out there listening decides not to help us fight this and help us do what we can to stop this, and you hear later that we lost this battle because maybe we couldn't convince enough of you to stand up and help, that is the day that America spins into deep blue socialist totalitarianism. There will be it doesn't matter if the bill has a border wall 2 miles high across the entire northern and southern borders, or stopping chain migration like they want, or stopping the visa lottery. I mean, I think stopping chain migration should happen immediately, along with stopping the visa lottery, and these should be independent bills that Congress passed and said, hey, look, we just stopped chain migration and the visa lottery because they were harming us, and we stopped them. None of these things matter. These are what we call in chess gambits. These are things that the elites and the Democrats know that they can give on, because once the DACA and the full immigration amnesty occurs, they take permanent control of U.S. elections, and the U.S. government and our laws. So they can remove, they can change anything they want back they want it,
that's right.
Hang a couple of plaques on the remnants of Trump's wall and call it a monument against hate.
Comprehensive immigration reform means what? Let's tell it. Go ahead.
That's amnesty for 12 to 20 million illegal aliens.
Or more.
And when Reagan messed up really bad and passed amnesty in 1986, it was supposed to be for 1 million illegals and never happened again, and had all these enforcement promises about how illegals couldn't be hired anymore, everybody was going to fill out I-9 forms,
right.
It was going to be secured, okay? Well, the 1 million person amnesty turned into 3 million. So whatever number they put in the bill, you can expect a factor of 3 to 4 times that number to actually receive amnesty. And then the enforcement provisions barely or never took place. People have been filling out I-9 forms for 40 years now, but nobody in Washington, D.C. really checks them or makes people fire people if they don't line up. So it's a useless thing, because all of our immigration and defenses have been paralyzed from inside of Washington, D.C. And that 1 million that turned into 3 million is the reason we now have 12 to 20 million.
Right.
If this new amnesty for 12 to 20 million passes, that means within 15 to 20 years max, there'll be 50 million new illegal immigrants in the country.
And you're not even mentioning Muslims or black Africans or any of the others.
Well, I'm not even mentioning the legal immigration aspects. We're talking about the population
of
the United States being doubled in a few decades.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, and of course, any white males, heterosexuals, Christians, Republicans, independents, non-socialists, you can be, you know, anything you want, but if you're a non-socialist, they'll probably start getting into the deeper phases of the type of lethal persecutions that they've always dreamed about and that they fantasize about right now. All across this country right now, leftists are having very strong fantasies about doing away with a lot of us in a lot of ways, in mass quantities, which they actually...
Look, this is the war on whites that we're talking about ultimately here.
Well, it's socialism and communism and how they deal with opposition. They do away with their opponents by the millions.
As in liquidation, as in mass murder, as in genocide, as in Soviet Union and Joseph Stalin and Lenin before him, and 100 million dead, primarily Christians. All right.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about here. Stand by just a minute. Bill and I will be right back. Talking with William Gein of ALIPAC, A-L-I-P-A-C. I would urge you to join it. It's the only organization that didn't flinch, folks. They've got a lot to be proud of. We need to support these people. And we will continue with this analysis in just a few minutes. So hang on. Welcome back. Talking to William Gein of ALIPAC, Americans for Legal Immigration, Political Action Committee. Do go to their website. Just click on Bill's name and go there. This is the group that has stood through it all and is now standing essentially alone. They haven't wavered. They have never equivocated. Bill's leadership has been sterling. It doesn't get any more American than this. Here's a little clip with Ann Coulter, Bill, on Lou Dobbs. Fox, and you'll hear her mention Di-Fi, Dianne Feinstein, in just a moment. It'll go by quickly. I just want to mention that Di-Fi means Dianne Feinstein, or gotcha. Feinstein, whatever you want to do. Here's a couple of minutes of Ann Coulter. I've always liked the way she thinks. She's very quick, and she doesn't mince words, and that's a good thing. Here we go.
For the purpose
he
of
was
this.
Doing exactly, literally 30 seconds. Di-Fi says she wants a standalone Dreamer bill. He agrees with that. Kevin McCarthy has to step in and say, no, sir, I think we need border security first. He agrees with that. He's agreeing with people with a 60-second lag. And the Democrats are just taking the position, no, we won't take anything but the Dreamers.
Yeah, well, he says without question. He says that he's going to have the wall. The problem I have, frankly, is that there was no discussion of the sequence in which these events would occur. And we know that if the wall is not, and I mean constructed, built, before there's any discussion of quote-unquote immigration reform, we know what's not going to happen. That wall is not going to be built, is it?
No, of course not. And any amnesty is a 100% amnesty because it goes to the courts. And the courts will say, oh, you may have limited this to left-handed redheads who came here at age zero through no fault of their own. But gosh, we're going to open it up to everyone. Yeah. And then through chain migration, they get to bring all of their relatives. And actually, I can't say you're wrong. You can say anything about that press conference today, called by Trump himself. He thought this was going to be a great shining moment. At any one moment, you can say he was agreeing to anything. He agreed with Di-Fi. Yes, we'll have a standalone Dreamer bill, just granting everybody amnesty, and we'll get to that comprehensive immigration stuff later. No, Lou, this is a disaster. It was the lowest day of his presidency.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more about the difficulty of the day. Let me put it that way. I am an absolute committed supporter of this president. I am also absolutely, without question and unreservedly, a champion of his wall and making certain that we secure the borders before there is any talk with the... This was an assemblage of some of the worst lights of the Kennedy-McCain
yes.
Effort to create comprehensive immigration reform. And it reminded
yes.
everyone in Washington what you do when you don't have a solution is you expand the problem. They made it comprehensive. Vast.
Well,
and by the way,
and also,
still
it
no
seems
progress
as if
on it.
Trump, it seems, yes, but it seems as if Trump thinks he's going to get all this great press by giving the left everything they want. I promise you, he's not going to get good press from this. They're still going to say he has dementia. If anything, they have more arguments now with him jumping around and abandoning his base. His only hope is to be pedal to the metal, fulfill his promises, build the wall, end chain migration, and deport these Dreamers who are, again, as I said last week, they ought to go before MS-13. They are just a Mexican Antifa.
That may be one
they
of
are
your...
the worst of the illegals.
Okay. That's Ann Coulter and Lou Dobbs. Yeah. If Trump was trying to demonstrate that he is of mental soundness and competence, this was not a good way to do it. I think she's right.
Well, I appreciate that clip, and I don't know if possible if you could maybe email me the two clips that you've used on the show tonight later.
Sure.
I'd like to circulate those to our email alert list, and I'd also like to shamelessly plug our email alerts at
Outback.
Please. The main way that we've been able to fight and defeat amnesty or stop amnesty up to this point or function is through our email alerts. People can join us on Facebook looking for William Gein or Ali Pack or on Twitter, but we're regularly censored and suppressed by those Silicon Valley socialist-run organizations. In fact, we're currently filing a civil rights complaint with the United States Department of Justice about Twitter's unfair treatment of us because they support amnesty and we oppose it. But our email alerts are our bread and butter, Jeff. It's the way that we can reach people. We need people not only to join our email alerts, but then make sure that they arrive, that they don't go into spam folders, that they actually make it to you and they get opened. Because what some people have done is they've signed up for our email alerts to their email, and they get the first one or two, and then they stop coming. And they thought that we'd gone out of business or something, but it was just their ISP trying to stop people from, organizing against amnesty. You got to understand, the most powerful banks and corporations and U.S. Chamber of Commerce, you know, they're all trying to get this thing to happen, and they're targeting Alipac because they know that we're the source of some winning strategies against
yes,
them.
Yes. And so, you got a good history, Bill. They can't ignore it. Nope.
Well, they know. I mean, whether Americans realize what we've done or not, I can tell you that our elite enemies have. And so they cheat and they fight dirty and they try to silence us. And the way for people to bypass that is to go to alipac.us at www.alipac.us, alipac.us, and join our free email alerts, please, if you're interested in helping us fight with all of our ability to try to stop this amnesty once again.
Okay. How many emails do you think you read today?
Coming in?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. It's hard to say.
Here, let me do this. Yeah, I got this from Gary Holland, who's a regular contributor to the program, and it probably is at least quasi-emblematic of much that you have seen. Let me read this. It's not very long. He said, then, hold on, I got to back this up here. Yes, a sec. Okay. He said, hi, Jeff, this turns my stomach. If anyone would be stupid enough to allow Trump to break every promise he made on illegal aliens, then there truly is no hope. If there is a time to make it stand and make us stand, it's now. I don't know how much I can offer. I'll try to tell everyone I can to put up a fight like we've never had up before against us. I have been involved with the fight against illegal aliens starting in 1994 when I had just gotten back from Somalia. He was an American Marine. To find out that there was a law called Proposition 187 in California. Prop 187 was the last-ditch effort to save California during that time, and I worked tirelessly along with my wife to get people to go vote yes on 187. The people in California spoke, and it passed. After the people of California made a stand, and it worked, and they had worked so hard for it, and passed Prop 187, we had a Zionist judge, Mariana Felzer, steal our vote like a typical Bolshevik filthy trick. Then, right after we had the most worthless piece of trash to ever exist, Gray Davis, the governor, stop all appeals at that time, basically telling the voters of California, as their governor, that they can go blank themselves. That's what we had to deal with. Then we had the dumb moron clown Bush as president, and he tried to pull this same stunt. And we stopped it by flooding the Senate and Congress phones, so they crashed. The Muslim and his transgender wife, the Obamas, tried it again with the Gang of Eight backstabbers, and again we stopped it by crashing their phone lines. Now we have Trump, who thinks he's bigger than the movement that got him elected. Trump, the dumbass, needs to find out that him or his ego is not bigger than the movement and needs to be forced to do what he promised on illegal aliens and to learn or not to be stupid enough to listen to the whispers of the Zionists. And there's one email. I've got a lot of them, but you get the idea.
Well,
and you got similar things.
Well, yeah, one of the things that was very similar from your email was about the sick to stomach. There a lot. Now that you've mentioned it, I have several people try to express their level of disappointment in Trump with physical illness today, and I have heard that in a lot of the emails. But you know, the thing people need to do is take that energy and try to channel it. And you're right there. You know, I was there when I was in Washington in Congress, in Senator Elizabeth Dole's office when the phone systems collapsed. The vote on amnesty was coming close.
How interesting.
Wow. And I was trying to decide whether mm-hmm. I could make it from Dole's office to the gallery in time for the vote.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, I realized that all the people sitting at those desks, like four people who had been fervently answering phones every hour or day I'd been in there before then, were sitting at the desk sort of twiddling their thumbs. And I'm like, what's going on? They're like, we don't know. And then the display screens were up on the walls where, you know, in the lobby where of Senator Dole's office, where you could see what was happening on the Senate floor. And Jeff Sessions came to the podium and was like, Mr. President, I have just been informed by the sergeant at arms that so many people are calling to oppose this bill that the Washington, D.C. phone system has collapsed. And it did. All right. We did not go from America hating amnesty so much in 2006 and 7 that they collapsed the D.C. phone system in 10 years that now we want our savior Donald Trump to pass what we stopped. And the idea that we just elected someone who used the death of Kate Steinle and the Angel Moms, who are the folks that have children and loved ones that have been killed by illegal aliens.
12 a day, yeah. Americans a day.
Well, we know that it's at least thousands of Americans each year are losing their lives.
That's right.
I spoke to an Angel Mom tonight, and I've read what they're posting. They feel used. They've mentioned the word props. Many of them believe that Donald Trump used their grieving families as political props, and they feel terribly betrayed at what Donald Trump is doing now. And you won't hear that on CNN or Fox News or any place like that because our voices are banned. Now, speaking of clips, there is another clip I want to bring to your attention. I've circulated it by email tonight, and I've posted it on the Alley Pack Twitter and Facebook pages, and also Gab. I don't know, Gab AI. Gab.ai is an alternative to Twitter that believes in free speech, and we're on Gab. But anyway, the Tucker Carlson show tonight. Tucker Carlson rolled out with this meeting at the White House as his lead story, and what Tucker says about it. His guest was Jorge Ramos of Univision, who was on there praising Donald Trump. And you know that when Jorge Ramos of Univision is praising Donald Trump, we've got a problem. And the big story is Jeb Bush, who Trump criticized for his comment.
Is he back from the dead?
He came out praising Trump today.
Oh, my God.
He tweeted today how happy he is that Trump is pursuing responsible or something immigration, bipartisan immigration reform with what Trump is calling his bill of love. It's supposed to be a bill of love.
This is so sickening. It actually gives me a stomachache. I'm not joking.
Well, it gives me a stomachache, and it makes me sad for all of the, you know, when I saw Tucker Carlson's broadcast tonight.
Yeah.
I realize that many, many, many Trump supporters out there hearing this were being heartbroken tonight at like 9.
They're gonna walk, Bill. They're gonna walk.
I'm not sure what they're gonna do, but at the same time, I was happy that Tucker was doing what he was doing.
He's often done very fine work. Yes.
Well, he's very smart and he's very intelligent and he's very rational about these things, and he was telling people the hard truth, you know, telling people things that they don't want to hear is a difficult job for someone to do.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, I grieve for them because, you know, I endorsed Donald Trump and I supported Donald Trump not because I believed he was going to keep his promises, but I wanted to support all the really awesome Americans that I saw rallying to Donald Trump. I saw so many great heartland American people, and out of all the people in America, the best chance for America's survival or revival are the people that came out and voted for Donald Trump.
Very good observation. Very good. And I agree. Yeah, you felt like you really wanted to reach out and help those people, embrace them, support their emotional commitment to this country's future and its present. Here, I'm going to play this one more time because it is so reprehensible. It is so despicable. It's 40 seconds. Here, take a listen once again. You never want to forget this, ladies and gentlemen, ever.
I do have people that are, let's just to use a very common term, very far right and very far left. They're very unhappy about what we're doing, but I really don't believe they have to be because I really think this sells itself. And, you know, when you talk about comprehensive immigration reform, which is where I would like to get to eventually, if we do the right bill here, we are not very far away. You know, we've done most of it. If you want to know the truth, Dick, if we do this properly, DACA, you're not so far away from comprehensive immigration reform. And if you want to take it that further step, I'll take the heat. I don't care. I don't care. I'll take all the heat you want to give me, and I'll take the heat off both the Democrats and the Republicans.
Now, that's a key. That's something very, very key here, Jeff. He's trying to draw heat on himself,
right,
away from Congress,
yep,
which tells all of us the heat needs to go on Congress. And let me tell you what needs to happen. Not only do the phone lines need to light up tomorrow with blazing angry calls, okay, but also we need to find and recruit and encourage and then identify and support quality GOP primary challengers for every single Republican that is playing footsie with this DACA thing. We have a list at Allipac called Kate's List, which has like 26 lawmakers, Republicans in the House that signed a letter to Paul Ryan asking him to pass DACA amnesty. They all need GOP primary challengers. We have an older list you can find on any search engine searching on the Cantor List. And the Cantor List has about 60 or 70 Republicans in the House that have supported amnesty in some form or fashion, although every one of them will deny it's amnesty. You know, it's the amnesty that's not an amnesty because they know the word amnesty destroys them. And if they actually were ever caught on any tape anywhere saying, I support amnesty, they're done. So they've got to rename it and lie about it. But where the focus needs to be is that the GOP primary season just opened up, and we need to find GOP challengers. Now, Trump is trying to tell them, and Karl Rove and others, that they have nothing to fear because Bannon has been defeated. And the big fear that Steve Bannon, formerly of Breitbart, was going to go out there and support candidates like he was doing for Roy Moore in Alabama and stuff, that was the main threat. And now they're straw man and Bannon. They're trying to pretend like Bannon was the only threat.
Right,
so we have to get people together and focus on these primaries, because if primary challengers start filing to run against these Republicans and make an issue saying that I oppose what they're doing on immigration, that's the number one thing we can do right now to shut down this amnesty thing. Trump can say, oh, I'll take the heat and everybody can focus on me, blah, 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 blah. But if these guys and gals that are supposed to vote for this thing see that they've got a GOP primary challenger making an issue about it, well, they're very likely to go run a poll, maybe a real poll on their district, or ask them people, because the truth of the matter is super large majorities of Republican voters hate DACA. Hate DACA. But they were talking about in the meeting, they even had some crazy claim that 62% of Trump supporters wanted DACAs to be able to stay and become citizens or some crazy stuff. D.C.'s been flooded with a bunch of George Soros organization-funded bogus polls.
Yeah.
The one Steiny Hoyer tried to claim the American public, 86% support what we're doing.
Bill, we really can't trust any polls anymore. I don't know of any I can really place a lot of confidence. It's very hard.
Well, hey, 86% of Americans don't support something that we called and shut down the D.C. phone systems over and defeated in 06, 07, 2010, 2013, and 15. The truth of the matter is the American public doesn't want this thing. And that's, you know, because you know what? If the American public didn't oppose this by a large margin, Donald Trump wouldn't have won.
Correct. Totally correct. It's very simple. It's totally correct. It doesn't take rocket science to figure this out. This is 1+1 logic. That was what did it.
If 86% of Americans wanted this to happen, like this type of amnesty, like Steny Hoyer was saying, sitting there right next to Donald Trump today, Donald Trump would have campaigned on it and won on it. But
yes,
he didn't. He campaigned on the opposite, and that's what made him win, because the American public feels the other way.
Okay. We've got a call into the White House switchboard. I don't know if don't email. They just hit delete on those. So we got a call. Do you have a number handy?
Well, for the White House switchboard?
Yeah, yeah.
I can get one. Hold on. Got it right here in the
202 something.
But look, calling the White House, it's not going to help.
What do you think? What do you want us to do?
The only thing that the call in the White House is going to do is, if there's people out there that don't want to believe this is really happening, getting them to call the White House so that they've told Trump not to do it, there's an advantage to getting people to take some type of action. We're going to put out an alert tomorrow morning, and we're going to go after the Republicans that were in the room with Trump tomorrow. That's going to be the people who get hammered tomorrow. Every GOP lawmaker that was in that room with Donald Trump, their phones need to get burned off the hook, and calls for GOP primary challenge challengers. And then we're going to probably endorse a new GOP primary challenger tomorrow. And we'll probably, I'll go ahead and give you guys a sneak peek. Currently, Senator Tom Cotton is on the Alipac endorsement list. We've been supporting him.
Very good.
But he was in the room to cut a deal with Trump. So we're going to drop our endorsement of Tom Cotton this week.
Yeah, this is good that you're getting on him. Good. Yeah, he doesn't deserve it. No.
The elections which are happening now, the 2018 elections, the primary filing period has opened. And a lot of this showmanship that Trump's doing is probably designed to distract away from the GOP primary thing. Now, if the GOP primary filing period that usually runs for a couple weeks in January or January into February, if those open and close and very few of these people in Congress have serious challengers, then we're dead meat. And they're going to pass this thing. But if we can get those challengers together, and that's what I'm going to ask people to do more, Jeff. I'm going to ask people to call and lambast the lawmakers that were in the room, but then to go to ground on the elections. We're going to put out a press release about, hey, everybody, it's GOP primary filing time, and we need people running against all these pro-amnesty Republicans, and we need to get people filed and identified and supported and on a list and go to ground against the members of Congress. And Trump, the heat for Trump, his real heat's going to come in 2020 when he's going to have to answer for what he's done.
Very quickly, where does this go from here? What is the mechanism?
Where it goes from here, it depends on how many people in America we can get active quickly. They're planning on doing this bill either this week or in a matter of days. They are going to try to do this legislation lightning
fast. That's what I wanted to know. I didn't have a good take on it. So we're talking about they're fast tracking this.
They're going to knock this. The negotiations have already taken place. The agreements have already been made today. So what we saw today was not an open air negotiation. It was a discussion about what they've already decided to do.
Sickening, even more so. All right. We've been noticed. Thank you, Bill, and keep the material coming. We'll push it as hard as we can here for you, as always. And I don't know where we'd be without you. Thank you, Bill. Frosty's up next, and I'll tell him hello for you.
Please give him my regards, and good night to all.
All right. Good night, Bill. Bill Gein of Alipac, A-L-I-P-A-C. And it's not good. This is not good. Back in a minute.